I invite you to hear the scriptures that comes to us from Luke chapter 14. Laura, mine has much easier names. Great job, by the way. As we come together, hear these words from Luke 14, 1 through 14. On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. Just then, in front of him, there was a man who had dropsy. And Jesus asked the lawyers and Pharisees, "Is it lawful to cure people on the Sabbath or not?" But they were silent. So Jesus took him and healed him and sent him away. Then he said to them, "If one of you has a child or an ox that has fallen into a well, will you not immediately pull it out on the Sabbath day?" And they could not reply to this. When he noticed how the guests chose the places of honors, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at a place of honor, in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, "Give this person your place." And then in disgrace, you would start to take the lowest place. But when you're invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, "Friend, move up higher." Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Jesus said also to the one who had invited him, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return, and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, we give thanks for the gift of this day. We ask that you meet us here now as we hear the scripture both read and proclaimed. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our collective hearts be acceptable in your sight. You, O Lord, are our rock and our refuge, and in you we do seek to trust. Amen. So we continue our journey of this 6-week series called Table Grace. And we're looking at hospitality as it's presented in the scripture in different stories. And today's is an interesting story for sure, because in today's story, Jesus is not the host, but the guest at someone else's table. And as we move into our story to kind of help us prepare for this story in a way that I think will help us, I want you to imagine for a moment. So I'm going to ask you to put on your thinking cap. So quite literally, I want you to put your hands in front of you. This is participatory. We're trying to do some movement here, and I want you to do this. We're putting our thinking caps on. Okay, you can put your hands down. Think about a time when you were invited to a meal, and somebody said something that seemed incredibly off-putting to the host and everybody at the table. Nikki, you can't share your story, because it involves my family, and they often say off-putting things. So think about this for a moment. You're at the table. Somebody's invited you. And then suddenly somebody says something that just makes everybody uncomfortable. I know the story Nikki's thinking of, which is why she's still smiling. It was a moment when my family gathered together for a meal, and my uncle and aunt had invited us and other family members and even folks that were stationed at the naval base with them. And my grandmother said the most off-color thing, and everybody suddenly left the table. And that young man didn't know what to do, and so he sat there as embarrassed as could be. He didn't stay around after dessert very long. He left quickly. Oftentimes when we think about those kind of dinners where we have those occasions, we can probably name a movie or a show where often the person who said it was the black sheep of the family, they were the ones that nobody wanted to have there, and maybe even sometimes they would say something that made everybody upset but probably needed to be said. You know, you've maybe seen that story, that movie, that example. Well, in our story today, Jesus is gathered around the table, and it says that he's the guest of a Pharisee, of a religious leader in the community. But we can tell from the introduction to the story a couple things. One, it's the Sabbath day. So they're gathering together on a day that was intended for rest. Likely the meal that they would have been prepared the day before. But it was still a special event where they had invited Jesus to come. But here's the thing. This special event was not so much to celebrate Jesus as much as it was to try and call him out. You see, they were really more focused on hostility. They were upset with this Jesus, with what he was saying, with what he was doing, with the tension he was creating within the religious community especially, but also in the communities where he would travel. And so their best thought was, let's have him at dinner, and we're going to show him for the fraud and fool that he is. But guess what happens when you have that kind of intention in a meal? Particularly when you invite the Son of Man, you will end up looking like a fool. And sadly, in our story today, the Pharisees thought they were going to teach him something, and he ended up turning the tables upside down. And how did he do that? With stories. With stories. In fact, the story starts like this. It says, when you're invited to a wedding banquet, don't rush to get seats of honor, but sit in lower places so that you might be elevated. You see, all of your striving to be first, yeah, it's for nothing. Wow, there's a lesson we might learn, right? That might still be applicable for us even in this day, that all of our rushing to be first place, to be the best at something, to have the most stuff, guess what? The person with the most stuff, I know it used to say the one who has the most toys, the one who dies with the most toys, guess what? They still die, just like the rest of us, and none of that stuff gets to go with you. Reality is we live in a world where we highlight and almost elevate those who are the greatest, the strongest, the richest. And in our story, Jesus begins to say, nope, running for those places of honor will actually mean more humiliation. So be one who practices humility. Humility, it will be a greater practice. The story goes on. Then he looks to the host of the table, the one who invited him, and he says, oh, and by the way, when you have a meal, a luncheon or a dinner, maybe that's an impromptu gathering, when you have one of those, don't just invite friends and rich neighbors and those who will repay you, but when you host a banquet, which is a special occasion, I want you to invite the poor, the lame, the crippled, those who can't repay you anything. Those are the ones I want you to invite. For you will then receive a reward that's much greater, one that won't be repaid to you in this life, but in the resurrection of the righteous, he says. Now, if you haven't caught up with the fact that following Jesus will mess up your life, let me introduce you to a great story to show you how it will mess up your life. So where we would like to think that oftentimes it's better and a great option to build walls around ourselves that keep us safe and secure, Jesus messes with those in our story today. He says if you want to experience true hospitality, then the barriers you've created to make you feel safe need to start coming down because they're actually keeping you from experiencing grace in its fullest. Yeah, that's the look I expected. What? This story is challenging. If you spend enough time in this story, you begin to recognize that self-preservation is not the way of Jesus, but self-denial, even in the face of possible danger. He's inviting us to be in community with those that our society, even today, would tell us to ignore and overlook. He's saying, I want you to experience being in community with them, and here's why. If you're not, you will not experience the grace of God in its fullest. You won't experience the grace of God in its fullest if we are building, like the Pharisees did, this community that spent more time excluding than inviting. Now, this is hard work, right? This is extremely hard work because it might mean that we're putting ourselves in connection with those that we'd rather not. It means we have to address the stereotypes that we place with persons who are different than us, whether that's skin color or sexual orientation or even if you keep going down the list of all those we would consider the other. Yes, in our story, Jesus is saying, invite them to the table. Now, we stopped our story at verse 14, but verse 15 in the next story is really a continuation of this dinner gathering. At verse 15, Jesus says, it says that somebody around the table said, well, blessed is anyone who eats in the kingdom of God. And we might want to celebrate this guest for their celebration of of the kingdom of God and what it must like. But I want to tell you this. It was probably one of those nervous things where somebody tried to change the subject. Dinner was getting incredibly uncomfortable. And so he said something to kind of trip it up and maybe we can change the conversation. Nobody here's ever done that, right? Okay, I'm glad to know I'm not alone. But then he goes on and he continues to tell of this next banquet where he invites people who make excuses for why they can't come to the meal. And so the owner of this home that's having this great banquet sends out his servant and says, well, go and bring the poor and the lame and the crippled. Compel anyone to come. And there's still room. And the story ends by saying, all those who were invited will never taste of this banquet. And I imagine this is the part where the story kind of ends. That I imagine it's also the place where dinner ended. Because by this point, the host has had enough of this guest who's saying such awful stories. I'm done with you. I'm done with you. So a couple things I want to share with you. As we come together, it's completely okay, Mom. I sometimes feel like I want to cry too. It's completely okay. We're so grateful. Okay, as we come together, a couple things that I think this story would really help us to learn, but they're not easy lessons. One of those is that Jesus is all about this sense of inclusive grace. But this inclusiveness calls for something. We have to empty ourselves. We have to deny ourselves to experience it. But here's the thing I've found and that we see in these stories is that no one who encounters Jesus leaves unchanged. If you fast forward a few chapters, you'll come to the story of Zacchaeus, right? We know him as the wee little man. The wee little man was he, right? He's the one that climbed up in a sycamore tree, right, so that he could see Jesus. But here's the thing. Zacchaeus was one of those that would have been a chief outsider because he was a chief tax collector, and he was not liked. Imagine that. That would still last even to today. Nobody seems to like the tax man. And understandably so, in this story, if he's the chief tax collector, he's likely been defrauding people. Because Rome didn't care how much you charged as long as they got their cut. And so the practice would have been for them to take more and more and more. And they would benefit from the riches of the excess beyond what they had to pay Rome. So they were hated in the community. They were never one of those that would have been liked. And Zacchaeus breaks all kind of conventions, running to climb that tree so he can see Jesus. Also something you wouldn't have done if you were in a person of his position and privilege. And what happens? But Jesus walks up to the tree, looks up and calls him by name. Zacchaeus, come down here now. I'm going to be a guest in your home. It's a perfect example of this story, this parable. You see, he chose the person nobody would have wanted at their table. Because we often believe, and we still even lift this up in our own day and age, that guilt by association. If I associate with you, then I'm just like you. Right? Even in our scripture, we teach good character, you know, bad character corrupts good character. And we kind of talk through this. But here's the thing that we find in Jesus. He connects even with those who are lowly and outsiders because he wants to show them the love and grace of God. The sad part is that we believe that the power to corrupt is always greater than the power to transform. And so when we see a person like Zacchaeus, an outsider, a lame, a crippled, somebody who's on the edges, the other, we think, oh, I can't associate with them because then people might get the wrong idea. And so sadly, sometimes we might even hold to our reputation versus recognizing that our redemption, our being made new, being made whole, experience grace in the fullest, might be wrapped up in being in relationship with them. For you see, I have truly come to believe, as Wesley taught us, that our holiness, our growing in the love of God and neighbor, is intertwined. I can't become fully who God has created me to be without you, nor can you without me. And the thing is that when we expand that beyond the walls of our church into our community, we begin to recognize that if we're to experience the grace of God in its fullest, that love that is just undeserved and incredible, then it has to be extended to those we meet along the way on this journey of life. Because in their story, in their experiences, we'll get a chance to glimpse something we've never experienced. We'll experience the love of God through their eyes, and it will make us more deeply committed followers of Jesus. It's hard work, though. If I'm really honest, this takes intentionality. Maybe intentionality that we're not used to practicing. It means engaging the person we would much rather and more easily walk past. Some have been doing that within our community and sharing those stories. I'm honored that I've got a chance to hear some of those stories, and I hope in time to encourage them to talk about how they have transformed. It happens on regular occasion. Reality is, I often believe that God puts people in our place every day. But if I were to give you the list of those God had placed that I missed next to the ones that I actually connected with or spoke with, you'd probably realize that those I connected with is a much shorter list. There's always more that God might place upon my path. And guess what? You don't have to be the greatest extrovert who's never met a stranger to do this. It's simply having eyes to see and hands that are willing to reach out to just one. To just one. In kindness and compassion. You see, Jesus wasn't about their setup in our story today. Their hostility and their anger at Jesus, it didn't work. It didn't last. They were transformed, maybe not in the way they wanted to. Remember, I told you everyone changes after they've encountered Jesus. Well, maybe some of these Pharisees were among those who were among the group that decided we must finish his voice for good. We don't know. Even in our scripture, there's witness of those who came to encounter Jesus that just couldn't say yes. The rich young ruler who had followed all the law throughout his life, who had loved God with all that he was, who had loved his neighbors. When Jesus said, "I want you to give up all of your riches to follow me," it says in the scripture that he left grieving. He couldn't do it. So the reality is we are invited into this radical hospitality of Jesus, that inviting those that we'd rather keep on the edges is hard work. It's work we have to intentionally be about. As a church, we've tried to commit to being in partnership with ministries like Room in the Inn and Open Table Nashville, not because we have something that we just are going to give, but because we need them to experience grace in its fullest. Without our brothers and sisters in Christ who are experiencing homelessness in our community, we won't really know grace in its fullest. We need them. We need them in ways that we sometimes don't give language or word, to teach us, to show us the world in ways we've not seen it. The same would be said when we connect with Project Transformation and we're spending time with children in an impoverished community. They're teaching us as much as we're trying to walk with them. They're teaching about life through their eyes that would really transform us to see differently. And in fact, I often have found their stories teach me something about the grace of God at work. Because even in the midst of overwhelming struggle and tension, their eyes light up. And they show me something I didn't see through a story or through the intentionality of sitting with someone. So following Jesus changes us. And lastly, this would be the word I would end with. It is by the grace of God that we live into this kind of invitation of creating space for the other, for the outsider. But here's the thing. We're not inviting them to join our club. I need you to hear this. This isn't about inviting people to join our church, to be members. If we're really living out this grace, we're inviting them to experience Jesus more fully. Inviting somebody to Jesus is what changes their life, not inviting them to join some club or be a member of something. Jesus is the one who changes and transforms hearts. And so as we come and we invite those around us to gather and table, we're both looking and inviting the presence of Jesus. And we'll all be transformed in the midst of that kind of meal. May it be so.